Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Monday morning. It's August 26, 2024. Great to be with you on this, of course, August 26th. And my wonderful producer, Andrew Kruczek, who is a very proud Polish-American brother in the Lord, reminded me that it is the feast day of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Poland. And if you ever have a chance to go to Poland, I love Poland. It's amazing. The church is there, the shrine's there, including the shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa. Just incredible. And the faith of the people there, it's very, very encouraging. So just a little suggestion that if you have never been to the beautiful land of Poland, it's well worth a visit. I've had the opportunity to go there, I think, three times? Twice on pilgrimage, and then once when there's a Polish, a Catholic publishing company that actually published a couple of my books in Poland, including Extreme Makeover, and they brought me over for a book tour and a book signing several years ago, not too long after Extreme Makeover was covered and was published. Anyway, it's a beautiful place, and you should consider putting it on your Catholic travel bucket list. All right, today on the program, we are going to be checking in again to get the latest from Florida, a different perspective. Friday, if you recall, if you were listening, we interviewed the head of Florida Right to Life, but where they are in this very important amendment that's coming up in the fall, and that is going to be devastating to Florida and to the entire country and the world if it passes, because it's just as extreme as other such amendments, similar amendments that have been passed in other states, including my home state of Michigan, which unfortunately passed Proposal 3 back in 2022 by a very wide margin. So we're going to be looking at this from a doctor's perspective. We have Dr. Grazia Pozzo Christi. She's a radiologist and a Florida native who is going to be describing for us about something that she wrote about recently, and that's how Florida doctors who are against Amendment 4 are working so hard to speak out against a proposal and, again, are offering a medical perspective into the various dangers that this measure presents, true dangers to women and unborn children in the Sunshine State. And then we're going to be talking with our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. Gabriella McIntyre is going to be joining us at about 39 minutes past the hour, and she works with Alliance Defending Freedom. She's legal counsel there. And there's some good news out of New York State, where the courts have supported Pregnancy Resource Center's freedom of speech. What a concept. So Gabriella joins us at 39 minutes past the hour, and then wrapping up, as we always do, with our scripture verse of the week from our friend Gail Buckley Barringer. So that's what the program looks like again, as I mentioned. So we're starting out with Dr. Grazia Pozzo Christi, and then moving to the Alliance Defending Freedom, looking at what happened in the state of New York recently, defending pregnancy centers and their freedom of speech, and then Gail Buckley Barringer wrapping up with our scripture verse. Let's take a look at the weather and see what's happening. We do have some dangerous heat, and we also have some severe thunderstorms over the north central U.S. today. According to the National Weather Service, they say we should expect hot to excessively hot temps stretching from the central plains into the upper Midwest and Midwest today. Excessive heat warnings and heat advisories have been issued. Severe thunderstorms expected from the northern central high plains eastward to Wisconsin this afternoon into the nighttime hours. And we have a few severe storms producing strong gusts and hail are also expected across southern New England. So kind of a mixture of different types of weather concerns to watch very closely. And we'll keep you updated if everything happens in the next hour or so while we are still live. Again, it is a Monday morning. We so appreciate you here at EWTN. August 26, 2024, just about 4 minutes past the hour now on a busy Monday. Let's get started with the news. Pentagon is ordering two U.S. Navy carrier strike groups to remain in the Mideast after an escalation in fighting overnight. Israeli warplanes bombing dozens of targets in Lebanon in what the military describes as a preemptive action to prevent an extensive attack planned by Hezbollah. The terrorist group responded with a barrage of drone and rocket attacks on Israel, Hezbollah also claiming to have hit a military intelligence site near Tel Aviv. Meanwhile, Senator Lindsey Graham says Israel should take a hard line against Iran in order to secure a hostage deal and de-escalate in the Middle East. The South Carolina Republican telling CNN State of the Union over the weekend, Israel should be ready to hit targets in Iran if its hostages are not returned by terrorists in Gaza.
If I were the state of Israel, I would tell the Ayatollah, if these people do not come home alive, the ones that are left alive, and if we don't get the bodies of the fallen, we're going to blow up your oil refineries.
Graham went on to claim the October 7th attack on Israel by Iran-backed Hamas was aimed at preventing Arab nations from normalizing relations with Israel. His comments come after a major escalation in the region again when, as we mentioned earlier, Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon launched rockets at Israel in response to what Israel said were, again, preemptive strikes it conducted. Rutgers University, as Sarah Lee Kessler tells us, has unveiled a new protest policy ahead of the start of the school year, which begins the day after Labor Day next week.
Rutgers is calling its new revised rules a free expression policy. No encampments allowed. And if you want to hold a protest, you'll need to fill out a form 3 days prior and get a permit. Each of the university's three campuses will have a designated area where demonstrations are allowed, nowhere else. This new policy is a response to pro-Palestinian protests that took place last spring, disrupting campus life, school exams, and leading to charges of anti-Semitism being investigated by the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Pope Francis praying yesterday for renewed hope for the people of Nicaragua, where the Catholic Church is experiencing harsh persecution under the regime of President Daniel Ortega. As Catholic News Agency explains, at the end of the Angelus address yesterday, the Holy Father encouraged them to renew their hope in Jesus, the people of Nicaragua, remembering the Holy Spirit always guides history toward higher designs. The Holy Father entrusting Nicaragua then to the protection and intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Persecution of the church in Nicaragua has intensified in recent years. The government has expelled nuns, taken over ecclesiastic institutions, and seized church assets, shut down Catholic media outlets as well, and sent priests and bishops to prison or into exile. And the Holy Father's prayer comes just days after the Ortega dictatorship canceled the legal status of some 1,500 nonprofits, including hundreds of Catholic organizations, and also exiled two more priests to Rome. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says he dropped out of the presidential race this year because of censorship by the major networks. In an interview with Fox News Sunday, he said he realized he had no path to victory after he was kept off major news networks and blocked out of the presidential debates.
It became clear to me that I did not have a path to victory. 16 months of censorship, of not being able to get on any network, really, except for Fox.
He went on to say that the former President Donald Trump reached out to him, and the two found they agreed on many issues, leading to Kennedy's decision to drop out of the race. As of now, Kennedy says he has not been promised a cabinet position in a potential Trump administration. Tammy Trujillo tells us President Trump plans to form an independent committee on presidential assassination attempts if he's reelected in November.
Trump made that announcement during a rally in Arizona on Friday night.
And they will be tasked with releasing all of the remaining documents pertaining to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And they will also conduct a rigorous review of the attack last month.
This comes as five Secret Service agents assigned to the Butler, Pennsylvania rally are now on administrative leave.
Meanwhile, the 2024 presidential race will shift into high gear this week. Both candidates are set to hit the campaign trail, with Vice President Harris and her running mate Tim Walz kicking off a bus tour in the battleground state of Georgia on Wednesday. President Trump and his running mate J.D. Vance will also hold several events in swing states this week. On Monday, today, Trump will be speaking at the National Guard Association conference in Detroit. Vance will be delivering remarks at a campaign stop in Big Rapids in western Michigan tomorrow. And Paris commemorating 80 years since the city was liberated from Nazi Germany. Sunday's military tributes and parades cap off a week of celebrations honoring France's armed forces. Nazi troops occupied the City of Light after overrunning Europe in the dark days of World War II. Scott Carr tells us Arizona's Governor Katie Hobbs activating the state's National Guard to help those in need after flooding near the Grand Canyon.
Governor Hobbs activated Guard members after recent monsoon storms triggered flash flooding in the Havasupai region. That action has deployed Black Hawk helicopter air support for evacuations. The National Guard says more than 100 tourists and tribal members have already been taken out of the canyon. The National Park Service says the area around Supai will be closed to tourists until further notice due to extensive damage from the flooding.
And parts of California seeing snow in August. Small amounts of snowfall recorded in and around Lake Tahoe over the weekend, with National Weather Service precipitation information showing accumulations of about a quarter of an inch. The Palisades Tahoe Snow Resort was a site of falling snow caught on multiple cell phone videos. California Highway Patrol video of Interstate 80 in Soda Springs showing snow falling in small flurries and asked too soon. National Weather Service said a winter-like cold front moved in from the Pacific and could continue to bring rain overnight and temperatures today into the low 30s. Phil Hewlett tells us that Cruise is now partnering with Uber.
Starting as soon as next year, robo-taxis from the GM-owned company will be available in test cities for customers to hail driverless rides on the Uber app. The announcement comes as Cruise attempts to regain its footing after ceasing operations due to one of its robo-taxis dragging a pedestrian 20 feet in San Francisco last October.
The Federal Aviation Administration now ordering the inspections of hundreds of Boeing 787 Dreamliners after a flight last March took a sudden dive that injured at least 50, the Chilean flight plunging after a seat flew forward and knocked out the autopilot. At least four similar issues have since been reported. The inspections must be completed within the next month. And today, marking Women's Equality Day, commemorating the anniversary of women earning the right to vote back in 1920.
And the bottom line is, since 1972, there have been more women voters than men in terms of who actually votes.
That's political scientist Dr. Susan McManus, who says Women's Equality Day has been celebrated annually on this day, August 26, since 1971, marking the anniversary of the certification of the 19th Amendment. And Rory O'Neill tells us a test flight of Boeing's Starliner spacecraft will not end as planned.
The test flight of the Boeing-built Starliner capsule was only supposed to last about a week when it launched in June, but plagued by helium leaks and thruster issues, NASA decided the two-person crew should come home on a SpaceX capsule in February.
You know, it's disappointing that they're not coming home on Starliner, but that's okay. It's a test flight. That's what we do. They knew those risks.
NASA's Norm Knight. NASA will try to remotely undock Starliner and land it uncrewed next month in New Mexico.
It is a Monday morning. It's August 26, 2024. Can you believe we're moving into the unofficial end of summer at the end of this week? Yeah, Labor Day is a week from today. Wow. That is unofficially, at least on the calendar, the end of summer. And many kids are back in school. Some of them back actually for a couple of weeks, depending on what part of the country in which you're living. But either way, we are technically in some ways and not so technically in other ways, at least for the calendar, wrapping up summer this week. But the weather is still pretty warm out there, hot to excessively hot temps stretching from the central plains into the upper Midwest and the Midwest today. Excessive heat, according to the National Weather Service. There's some warnings and heat advisories that have been issued. We have severe thunderstorms expected from the northern central high plains eastward to Wisconsin this afternoon into the nighttime hours. And then a few severe storms producing strong gusts and hail also expected across southern New England. It is a Monday morning, 13 minutes past hour right now on EWTN, your pro-life radio station, radio network. And we come back, more pro-life discussions going back down to the beautiful state of Florida to see how doctors, the medical community, speaking out against this amendment, extreme abortion amendment that's up for a vote right around the corner. More on that coming up on a Monday. Stay tuned.
This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart friendly, ride your bike everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
Every year, couples who go on the Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. Join us on the next Good News Cruise from January 5th to 11th on the Royal Caribbean's Oasis of the Seas. You'll be joined by Father Michael Schmitz, Teresa Tamio, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and many more speakers. Cabins are selling fast, so be sure to book your spot now. Faith and fun on the sea and in the sun. There's no topping that. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the travel tab to find out more. Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds.
The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. On a Monday morning, we are your pro-life radio network, that being EWTN, of course. Check out all of our great work online, on the air, EWTN.com. Catching up again with an amazing pro-life doctor, Dr. Grazia Posey Christi. She's a radiologist and Florida native. And she detailed in a recent piece how the group Florida Physicians Against Amendment 4 are working strongly to speak out against the proposal that's coming up for a vote in November. If you recall, on Friday, as I mentioned, at the top of the hour, we had a great discussion with the head of Florida Right to Life and what they're doing, branching out to all sorts of people at all different groups and making a huge difference. And then also counting on groups like the one in which Dr. Grazia Posey Christi is involved to get the word out. Doctor, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
No, thanks for giving me the chance to talk about our dilemma here in Florida. So much.
Yeah.
So much. We all need to do so much in Florida to defeat this terrible amendment.
Well, let's talk about it from your perspective, from a medical perspective, because there's so much fake news out there regarding this amendment as well as others that have passed across the country, including one in my Great Lakes state of Michigan. What messages are you hoping to get out to the community in general?
Well, the amendment is extremely bland in its language. It's also devious. Every term is undefined. So the opportunity for misinformation and confusion and sowing a completely erroneous view of what this means are rife, and the pro aborts are taking they're going for it because this is a money issue, right? You can follow the money, and there's a lot of money to be made on the backs of women and their babies when it comes to big abortion.
So, in our case as doctors, what we're trying to do is explain how dangerous this abortion is, this amendment is, for the safety of the mothers, also in the sense that they're going to be exposed to having abortions in the second and third trimester, which are very dangerous, very traumatic, that they wouldn't have otherwise had, right? And also their safety in the way that the amendment would get rid of all common sense, maternal safety, and health regulations. Little by little, those would be chipped away and those would be gone. We have a very robust system here to protect women and girls who are looking for an abortion in Florida. And then also it would eliminate parental consent, which is absolutely insane from a medical perspective, where parental consent is a big ethical bright line that we never, ever cross.
Well, it's almost a carbon copy. I'm sure there's differences here and there, but it's almost a carbon copy to what we saw in other states, including, as I mentioned, my own state of Michigan. But here's the thing. Everything you mentioned, people have been getting the word out, at least they've been trying, and it doesn't seem to be resonating enough because it's so close right now in the state of Florida. Why aren't people hearing that message, what you just said, so clearly, so accurately?
I think they hear the word abortion and people turn their headsets off when the word abortion comes up. They're tired of the topic. People are not getting the information from their most trusted sources. So people aren't hearing about this or haven't been hearing about it. I hope that's changing rapidly. But they haven't been hearing about this from the pews. From the lectern at churches. There's been a lot of silence on the right, on the pro-life side, who has been, I think this is happening across the country, scrambled since the Dobbs case when we've been fighting Roe for so long and our organizational structures have been for many decades fighting that one war, right, like on that front of mm-hmm. Roe, and then have had to scramble. And I think our game on the ground is not what it should have been these last 2 years
since Dobbs.
So what do you do in the next, 6 to 8 weeks to turn that around, do you think, Doctor? I know this is a tall task, but what can you and the other medical professionals do differently to, again, change things?
Well, one thing we're doing is we're collecting signatures to a declaration stating that physicians, we have our three messages, and what we're trying to do is collect hundreds of signatures from physicians and other allied medical professionals. That's at FPAA4.com. If there are any doctors, nurses, psychologists, psychiatrists, anybody who works with patients out there, if you could sign, because what we want to make very clear to Floridians is that the medical profession does not line up behind this amendment as the pro-abortion side would have you believe. They're really good at making this sound like science. There's nothing scientific about Amendment 4. All it is a door, not even a door. It's a giant, a giant crater in the wall that protects women and girls in Florida from the depredation of an abortion industry, which only has dollar signs as their goal. They're not interested in the safety of women or girls. They're not interested in ethics and morals and the big picture. They're interested in money, and we need to protect them, and we need to make sure that people in Florida know that medicine is about protecting patients, the baby who's not born, and the mothers.
Well, you wrote a piece, a big piece, and it was published, if I understand correctly, in the Miami Herald, which is great because it's a secular outlet. But are other doctors doing the same, reaching out to the secular media, the legacy media, because that's where the difference is going to be had? Because unfortunately, even though we are a huge network and we're in a lot of stations, there's a lot of Catholics that are in the pews, not in the pews all the time, and don't even know about Catholic radio. So you have to reach out to alternative sources. Obviously, we talk about this nonstop practically because we have to get the word out to our community so they're well-educated, and it's a preeminent issue, of course, life. But there really needs to be an outreach to the secular press. Have they been open, to your message in addition to what you've done recently?
I've been sending pieces to the Miami Herald for about 12 years. This is the first piece they ever took.
Oh, wow. Are you kidding? This is the first piece, but you kept trying, though. That's significant.
I kept trying. And we've been working really hard. We've been doing media training, a bunch of doctors all up and down the state of Florida. And we're writing op-eds. We're writing letters to the editor. We're making ourselves available for radio. And we're working with a group, a PR group who's putting us out there after media training us. And so we hope to have an impact. All of us are doing something else. We're going out. I know that you talk about talking to the choir, but you'd be surprised how ignorant people are who are sitting in pews Sunday after Sunday. They don't understand how terrible the amendment is. So we're going, we're speaking at parishes, we're speaking at temples, we're speaking, people, I know that we say it's the choir, but if we could just get people who have a slight understanding of the philosophy of the dignity of life, which are these people sitting in pews on Sundays, to understand the horrors of Amendment 4, we could beat this amendment. We could beat this amendment. We only need to get 41% of Floridian voters to understand Amendment 4.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Grazia Posio-Christi, Senior Fellow at the Catholic Association, discussing a piece that she got published in the Miami Herald, which is huge. I'm so glad you did that. But here's the thing about the choir. That frustrates me when people say that, oh, you're just preaching to the choir. And my response is, well, first of all, doesn't the choir need practice? I mean, my father sang in the choir for his entire life. He had a beautiful voice, beautiful, beautiful Italian tenor. And you would hear him sing and think, well, he doesn't need practice. He went to choir practice, Doctor, every single week because he knew he needed to be there and show up and to keep his voice in good shape. So I don't care if we're in the choir. The choir, if you heard the choir lately, sometimes we can be really out of tune, and sometimes we get busy and we've got life and we've got this, and we may not know as much as people think we might know because we're quote-unquote in the choir, right?
Well, I'll give you an example. The pastor of our church is very pro-life, and I gave a talk at our church, and he listened to it. So he was like, yeah, the Archbishop told us we have to work hard on this. We have a plan. Our communications department is on it. Well, he came to my presentation, and he left the presentation on fire to communicate what he had learned in a completely different frame of mind from when he walked in. It takes 15 minutes to understand a memo for. 15 minutes later, he was on fire because he understood that this is not a difference between right now in Florida, elective abortion is legal through the first 6 weeks of pregnancy and after 6 weeks for several reasons, several listed reasons. So he didn't, he had to hear those bits of information so that he could get on fire. And that's what I think the choir does when they practice, right? They hear themselves in harmony. They're singing beautifully together and they say, ah, this is why I'm here, because I can make a difference and I can make life beautiful for others. But you have to be filled with that joy, that passion, that crusading spirit, right? That you're going to go change the world and be a soldier in the army of God. Like, you can be home and send tweets and memes, or you can be a soldier.
Absolutely. Post great articles, share interviews like this. We tell that to people all the time. We're going to put the link to your article and also to this interview on our archive. More with Dr. Grazia Pozzo-Christi from the Catholic Association, where she serves as a senior fellow. She's an MD, working very hard in the state of Florida to give people a true medical perspective on this horrific amendment that's coming up for a vote. Pretty much a carbon copy of these things we've seen sweep across the country. Let's let not it happen again, especially in the good state of Florida. We'll be right back.
What is the significance of the anointing oil or chrism during the administration of confirmation? According to the Catholic Catechism, when a Christian is thus anointed, he is marked with a permanent spiritual seal. Anointing in biblical times was rich with symbolism. Oil is a sign of abundance and joy. It cleanses and limbers the body. It is a sign of healing. Think of it being administered to cuts and bruises. It gives radiant beauty and strength. All these features of oil are present in the sacramental life. The pre-baptismal anointing with the oil of catechumens signifies cleansing and strengthening. Anointing the sick signifies healing and comfort. In confirmation and holy orders, the post-baptismal anointing with sacred chrism denotes consecration. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I tell oftentimes an experience that I had at Divine Child when I was a young priest, 1 year ordained. First time I ever really saw the power of the Blessed Sacrament. And we simply exposed the Blessed Sacrament at the end of Mass one night. I encouraged people. I said, you know what, we've been in the habit of praying over people after Mass. I said, we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to invite people to come on up and pray if they want to pray. And I put the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. I kneel down. As I kneel down, the church is in the sanctuary, the whole church. And as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the people there, and I'm looking at Jesus under the appearance of bread there, I saw the Lord standing on the altar. And he's just standing there looking out at all the people. And then at a certain point, he turned towards me, and he just bowed. And he says, don't you see how easy this is? You don't have to do anything. You just have to put me out. You put me out, and I will work.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. 28 minutes past the hour. Great to be with you on a morning edition of this program, co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Check us out online, AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com. And we will archive this interview and the resources mentioned, including the article by our guest from the Miami Herald. We're talking to Dr. Christi, and she is, of course, senior fellow at the Catholic Association. Okay, so I wanted to go back to something that comes up all the time. We've seen this in all the different states where amendments have passed, where even pro-lifers buy the complete lie that these amendments, if they are not passed, it's going to just be awful for women's health. They're going to be dying in the streets. They won't be able to get emergency care if they have a problem pregnancy. They're confusing the facts. They're making people think differently in terms of what's really going on here medicine-wise. And being that you're a doctor, here's your opportunity to dispel that, because we have to get that out there, what's going to really happen under this amendment and what won't, right?
So this is a top-line message for the abortion side, and it's that women will die if this amendment doesn't pass, because women will have emergencies during their pregnancies, and they will not be able to receive their needed abortion to treat that emergency, okay? And that's making sense to people, because people don't understand what an abortion is, and they believe that when the abortion side says the word abortion, they're thinking about the same thing they're thinking of, and it's just not true. So An abortion is the intentional direct killing of the of an unborn child. That's what an abortion is. A medical treatment for a crisis in a pregnancy could be maybe the premature rupture of membrane. It could be, well, that's a good one to start with, the premature rupture of membrane. That necessitates the ending of the pregnancy, but that is not an abortion. When you end a pregnancy and you deliver a baby, which is much better for a mother than an abortion because a delivery is a much easier procedure. It's shorter, it's quick, and it's less traumatic for her physically and, of course, mentally. You deliver the baby and the baby doesn't survive. She did not have an abortion. She had a delivery because the baby needed to be delivered. And if the baby doesn't live, then she still didn't have an abortion. So what people are getting hung up on is that confusion about what an abortion really is. But doctors know very well what an abortion is. I don't know a single OBGYN, and I know many, I don't know a single one who performs abortions. Whenever a woman has a problem in her pregnancy and the baby needs to be, you could say, separated from the mother, right, removed from inside the mother, the baby's not killed first because that would make it an abortion. Mm-hmm. What they do is they deliver the baby, and sometimes the baby doesn't make it, right? But there are babies now who have 21 weeks of pregnancy, only slightly over the halfway mark. That's spectacular. And that happens because we love babies. We spend a fortune in America on neonatal ICU taking care of newborn babies and giving them a chance at life. So we're too good for abortion in America, and we're certainly too good for it in Florida.
Well, here's the thing, and by the way, we're talking with Dr. Grazie Posey-Christi, who's making excellent points and is out there on the front lines speaking the truth about life and love, and recently had a great article in the Miami Herald after trying for a dozen times. Good for you for keeping at it, though, because that's
years.
What you have to do with the secular press.
12,
yeah,
it was 12
crazy.
Years, more than a dozen times. Over 12 years.
Wow. Over 12 years, okay. But here's the thing that is frustrating, and what you just said was an excellent explanation of the true medical concerns that are involved here and the difference between a problem pregnancy and an abortion. You can't explain what you just said in a 10-second soundbite. You can't explain it in a 30-second soundbite. It takes a little bit longer to dive down and help people, to dig deep and help people understand it, and this is what the left does. They use the fear factor, and they put it out there, and they mix the messages, and they try to get people to think something's going to happen when it doesn't even exist in terms of, as you just described. And people don't want to prevent anyone from getting care that they think they might need, even if they're thinking this incorrectly, because that's not the case. And it's the messaging, and the left is really, really good at their messaging. They lie, you know, like a rug. They lie about everything, but they're able to tweak the emotions. And people are busy. People have lives. Not that this should be a big part of their life. Yes, doing their homework and their research. But they're busy and they hear these things. They see something on TikTok, or they see something posted on Facebook, or they see other social media. We spend about 6 hours a day on social media, and they see these so-called scary stories, like the woman who talked about this during the Democratic National Convention last week. And the attorney general from Louisiana came out and said that woman was wrong. That's not what happened. And yet that's after the fact. And now you have to catch up on all that ground. That's the problem. That's what I'm really, really concerned about, because I see this over and over again.
Can I give you one more example, Teresa?
Absolutely.
Because this is one that has been brought up to me several times. When I give my talks, people will raise their hand and ask questions. And this has come up because they know that they know people. They know women who've had this experience. A woman is in the early part of her pregnancy, say she's 7 or 8 weeks pregnant, and she starts to bleed, right? And that's a very bad sign because she may be miscarrying. She goes to the doctor. He does an ultrasound. The baby is there. The baby has a heartbeat. And the doctor says, you're probably going to miscarry. There's a lot of blood, but I'm going to send you home, and we're going to do this naturally because that's better for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a natural miscarriage. It's sad. It's traumatic, but that's nature. Many babies are miscarried in the early pregnancy, and that's just the way we're built, and God knows why he does things. The other option is to do an abortion, right? Which means to remove, to use a vacuum to remove the child, killing the child on the way out, to end that process artificially. Doctors, OBGYN, prefer the woman, for her own sake, to go through this miscarriage naturally, because they don't want to put instruments inside the uterus, which is a very delicate space that's not supposed to have instruments in it, right?
They mm-hmm. don't want to interfere in a natural process that's perfectly natural. It's sad, but natural. So people go out there and they say, they wouldn't give my daughter an abortion or my sister when she needed one. She was in pain for 3 or 4 days or a week or two, and her doctor wouldn't give her the abortion she needed, and she lost the baby anyway. Does that make sense? I think that's another example right. where abortion mm-hmm. is not the answer, but not because someone wants a woman to suffer, but because they want the woman to have the best outcome and the healthiest outcome after she loses her baby.
But again, the media and the left and media support abortion. The research that says this going back decades, all the way back to surveys shortly after Roe v. Wade happened back in 1973, the media are staunchly in favor of abortion, and they love these types of stories because it plays on the emotions. They know that fear works. I mean, news departments, everyday newscasts are built around fear, the fear mm-hmm. factor, getting people to pay attention. So this is something that we really have to make sure that we share articles like the one you wrote for the Miami Herald, that we send people to the Catholic Association to get more information, and Right to Life of Florida, so people know what's going on, and to really do their homework and to don't fall for the lies about these horrible things that are going to happen with women if these amendments don't pass. Because whenever the left is speaking, these are the same people that give us abortion, folks. Remember this. And we're really going to trust the Planned Parenthoods of the world. Are you kidding me? So don't fall for the emotion. Do your homework and listen to the experts like Dr. Grazia Posey-Christi. And she can be found at the Catholic Association. The website is thecatholicassociation.org. We're going to let her go, and then we're going to take a quick break and come back and continue the pro-life conversation. How about some great news? A big victory for pregnancy resource centers trying to get out information, the truth. Well, they won a case. And we're going to talk with Alliance Defending Freedom all about that. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
I'm going to tell you about the most abused woman I ever met in my life. You know her name as Roe, as in Roe versus Wade. I talked to Roe. This woman is a great penitent. This woman is a humble person who was deeply hurt. She was kneeling in the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, the National Shrine in Washington, when I met her. And I thought, what reverence. I didn't know who this woman was, but she was praying with reverence, with great fervor. And I asked a priest friend of mine, who is that? And he says, oh, that's Roe. God is not mocked. This woman was abused by those who propagate the killing of children.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
If I disciplined consistently, I'd be disciplining constantly. If I were consistent in my discipline, that would mean I would discipline more, and I'd be disciplining him often. The exact opposite is the case. More consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. Why? Because you're predictable. The child knows if he does A, you'll do B. That is why, when you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
Catholic Connection, quickly moving through today's show, Monday, August 26th. Great to be with you, your Pro-Life Radio Network, continuing our pro-life conversation, this time with attorney Gabriella McIntyre with Alliance Defending Freedom. And yay, some good news, Gabriella. We know yeah. now that pregnancy resource centers had a victory in New York State. Tell us about it, please. Good morning.
Sure. Good morning. Yes, and it's great to report on this sure victory. So in New York, at the Attorney General, Letitia James, had sued back in May 11 faith-based pro-life pregnancy centers and a network of affiliated centers in the state because they made positive and truthful claims about abortion pill reversal. We sued because our centers make those same claims, and their speech has been chilled in violation of the First Amendment. And last Thursday, the court agreed with us that we were likely to succeed on the merits of our claim for free speech violation. And in the interim, while we litigate this lawsuit, the Attorney General is barred from taking any action against our pregnancy centers that we represent in the case.
So then what happens? You said right now it's she's been barred, but this goes forward, right? So where does the case stand in terms of time? What are you looking at? What are the next actions in court?
That's correct. So this was on a motion for preliminary injunction. And so what that was is just us moving the court to, in the interim period, while we litigate the rest of the case, we essentially just had to show that we had a likelihood to succeed on the merits of our claims. And that the Attorney General was violating or is violating our client's rights in the interim period. And so the court agreed with that. And so you're correct. The case will continue on the merits. But in the meantime, our centers will be able to speak and continue speaking about abortion pill reversal, which could save babies' lives while this case proceeds.
And you would think, one would think that if the pro-aborts are all about choice, which is all we ever hear, choice, 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 that they would want women to have different options, right?
Right. Yes, and abortion pill reversal is one of those options. Many women regret their abortions, and some even choose to reverse the effects of a chemical abortion before taking that second drug called misoprostol in the drug process. And this often will save their baby's lives. There's evidence that shows that over 5,000 unborn lives have been saved from the APR protocol, and it has about a 64 to a 68% success rate. So women should not be forced to go through with a chemical abortion if this other option is available to them. They should at least be able to hear about it so that they can make the choice for themselves about how to continue with their pregnancy.
So, I mean, I know what the bottom line is here, because if these politicians and candidates are getting money from Planned Parenthood, they want to go ahead and support them, you know, across the board and fight anyone that stands up against, you know, more abortions. But in terms of the actual case, there's a lot of evidence and there have been a lot of success stories with the abortion reversal pill. So what did she say? Why didn't she want them talking about this? What was her argument?
Well, essentially, she's not pro-choice, she's pro-abortion. And so anything that goes against the narrative of a woman choosing to have an abortion and not having any other choice after that is against her narrative, and it's against everything that she stands for as a politician. And so this absolutely, just as you said, it's plenty of evidence to show that unborn lives have been saved by this protocol. There's a 64 to 68% success rate for women who take this supplemental progesterone after beginning the abortion drug process, and their babies have been saved. And so women deserve to know about this option, and we're very glad that the court has agreed with us in the interim period while we litigate the case that they get to continue, these pregnancy resource centers get to continue to advocate for this option for women in their communities.
But what was her argument? Was it that she thought it was unsafe, or she thought that the pregnancy resource centers were giving false information? What was her claim for trying to shut down this conversation?
Yes. So her claims are that they are violating the business fraud statutes in the state of New York. So these are essentially statutes that prohibit organizations or companies from falsely advertising. But again, this protocol has been successful, and it's proven and backed by statistics that show that abortion pill reversal has likely saved a lot of unborn lives. And it's just, it's very clearly censorship against the pregnancy resource center's viewpoints on abortion and on abortion pill reversal.
We're talking with Gabrielle McIntyre from Alliance Defending Freedom about the developments, good news, in an ongoing case involving the New York Attorney General who tried to stop the pregnancy centers using their own freedom of information, freedom of speech rights to get the word out about the success of the abortion pill, offering women yet another option. It, to me, is just so, so interesting. Every time you see, they always claim, again, as we said earlier, that they're all about choice, and then something comes up where there is an opportunity. I wonder, did she sit down and have a conversation, Gabriella, the Attorney General of New York, with pregnancy resource centers, maybe an umbrella group, or maybe with a medical expert from both pro-life and pro-abortion sides if she's supposedly looking into this as the attorney general?
Not to my knowledge. She initiated this lawsuit, or a separate lawsuit, I should say, against those other faith-based pro-life pregnancy centers in New York back in May. And to my knowledge, there was no investigation or any complaint, really, that this actually initiated from. It was just kind of a, well, we are just going to go after you for your speech on this issue. And that's how it all began. And that's the reason why we sued as well, because the attorney general is seeking door-closing relief, injunctive relief, restitution, damages, civil penalties, attorney's fees. And so this very well could close the doors of these pregnancy centers that serve vital, vital roles in their community.
Yeah, well, the end game is to shut down these places because they offer an alternative to abortion. And an alternative to abortion means fewer abortions, which means less money. So it doesn't take a scientist or, a rocket scientist or an F. Lee Bailey to figure this out. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You just follow the money here. Not to mention there's a huge agenda. We're talking with Gabriella McIntyre, legal counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom. This seems to be a pattern, am I correct, with other AGs around the country who are trying to do this, right?
Yes. We currently have cases in other states, currently in New Jersey. We're fighting a very similar type of case there. In Washington State, I know that there's been actions taken by the Attorney General in California as well. So this is absolutely a part of a larger trend of hostility towards these pro-life pregnancy centers across the nation. And we're hoping that victories such as this one will help these courts in crafting their opinions as well about these free speech claims. Now, the court didn't get to the merits of our free exercise claims or our due process claims, but those are also still on the table as well.
How long do you think, I mean, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but how long do you think this will take to finally be adjudicated, the whole process, do you think?
To be honest, I'm not quite sure. Some courts take several months, some courts take close to a year. But hopefully this case will get going quickly so that we can have a final adjudication on the merits and so that our clients will be able to know for sure that they are able to continue speaking about this vital treatment for women.
And what kind of precedent could this send then, Gabriella, if you do get a final victory in this?
Well, this would just affirm what we've already been talking about, is that these pro-life pregnancy centers have a free speech right to speak about this protocol, this abortion pill reversal that has shown to have success, and that women deserve to know about this treatment, about this this alternative option for them if they decide not to go through with an unwanted chemical abortion.
Well, this is real good news, and the process is continuing, of course, but thanks be to God they can still put that information out there, and hopefully that will continue. And please keep us posted on the outcome of this, regardless of when this goes through the final legal steps, because this is a huge, huge story and a huge case. Thanks so much, Gabriella. Appreciate your work.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And we're going to wrap up a Monday morning already. Can't believe it. The hour flew by. It's August 26, 2024, with our scripture verse of the week, our Bible verse of the week, with Gail Buckley-Barringer from Catholic Scripture Study. Romans 13:1, let every person be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So this is a very interesting verse, and we will discuss with Gail Buckley-Barringer when we come back on a Monday. Stay tuned.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. That is setonhome.org.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. once declared, "It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels." He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, grab your pens or get on your phone and make a note. Our verse this week, Romans 13:1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So what does this mean? It can seem sometimes confusing, certainly interesting, especially in an election year. So what say you, Gail Buckley-Barringer, about this verse? Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Well, you know, in this passage, St. Paul is writing to the Romans from the Greek city of Corinth, and I think it was the year 57 A.D., and it was just 3 years after this 16-year-old Nero had become the emperor of Rome. And just a few years after that, after Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, Nero had Paul beheaded. He also had Peter crucified upside down, and many other Christians, you know, were used as human torches to light his gardens. So this is how evil this man was. But although these things had not yet happened, when Paul wrote this letter, he was well aware that, you know, of Nero's evil ways and the persecution of Christians, yet he still implored the people, the Roman citizens, to be obedient. And he still spoke of the authorities, including Nero, as servants of God. And that, you know, that's really, you know, as you said, really confusing. But because even under a tyrant like Nero, it is still unlawful for Christians to steal or kill or commit perjury or whatever, because those who do so are rightly subject to punishment, you know, of the government. And in the next verse, verse 2, Paul goes on to say, therefore, he who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Well, this is really hard to understand. You know, these verses, you know, can be, they can have, you know, and be interpreted to mean that any opposition to the will of the state or the government, no matter how brutal and unjust might be, as a rebellion against God, which, of course, is not true. You know, that's inaccurate. In fact, in the 1930s, when Hitler was, you know, in charge, they used this verse to get German citizens to support Hitler. You know, but St. Paul makes it clear later on in the passage, you know, that the things that are, you know, which are rooted in justice and in God, you know, is just. So when civil authorities prohibit what God, you know, commands and commands what God prohibits, we're equally bound in conscience to disobey that civil authority, even if it means our death or, you know, to become martyrs. So the fact is, you know, such laws that go against God's laws, you know, we're obliged to try to find a way to, you know, not to avoid them. Like, for instance, when the Holy Family, you know, when Nero, I mean, not Nero, but was it Herod? When Herod proclaimed, you know, that have all male children, the firstborn males, killed, well, the Holy Family fled the country to avoid, you know, compliance with that. So they, in essence, were breaking the law. But it's okay to go against the law when it's a terrible thing like that. That said, you know, it's important to remember, you know, that the other side of the coin, which is what Paul is emphasizing in our verse today, namely that the state usually does act as God's servant to preserve order in, you know, in society, you know. But Paul is well aware that Nero was an evil tyrant who governed over the people and persecuted Christians, but he still insists that, you know, he's not to go against him if it was, you know, of just law. So, you know, remember in Matthew, Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and give unto God what is God's. So it's, you know, like that. And the church then, just as it is now, the church back then, just as it is now, you know, was faced with complex questions of, you know, relationships with the government, which on one hand is ordained by God to keep order, yet on the other hand, sometimes makes claims upon our obedience, which we cannot obey, like abortion. We can't go along with that. You know, the government says that that's a law, but we cannot, as Catholics, as Christians, obey that. So the bottom line is that the government authority is God's service for our good. But like Nero, when it tries to make us obey laws that are not in accord with the law of God, then, as St. Augustine said, an unjust law is no law at all.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I'm getting out of this conversation. All the more reason, seriously, Gail, and I mean this, is to enroll in Catholic Scripture Study. Because how do you learn this? I'm not just giving you a free plug. I'm saying that very seriously. You have to study it. It is complex. It can be confusing. So how do you know? Your Scripture Study is so good. I mean, there's a ton of great Catholic Scripture Studies out there now. But the ones that the teachers that you have are phenomenal, and they explain this, and they take us to church teaching to back up what it says in Scripture. So we need to be able to have resources, and we do, which is why we have you on every week on this. This is a really important verse, Romans 13:1. That's our verse of the week. Gail, we're going to let you go. We only have about 20 seconds left, and I have to wrap up, but I really appreciate what you do, because this is why we have you on every week, to remind people of the importance of Scripture, especially what the Church teaches us and how we are to embrace that in our lives every single day, which can be easily done with the daily readings, at least to start, but enroll in a good Bible study such as Catholic Scripture Study. Thanks so much, Gail. Appreciate it. And it is a Monday morning. It's about 56 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection. And don't forget, we have all the resources that we mentioned, including a link to Catholic Scripture Study International, Dr. Posey's article, and much more on the archive section at AveMariaRadio.net. Talk to you tomorrow. Ciao, ciao. On demand.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.